You're listening to the Rawha, daily guidance for seekers with Sheikh Faraz Rabbani, who will be covering Imam Yusuf al-Nabahani's beautiful collection of 40 sets of 40 hadith of the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, as well as Imam Zarnuji's guidance for seekers of knowledge regarding the ways of seeking knowledge, Ta'lim al-Mut'allim, Turuq al-Ta'allim.
Wa sallallahu ala Sayyidina Rasulillah wa alihi wa ashabihi wa man wala. Allahumma lakal hamd ala ma an'amta alayna min ni'man la tuhsa. يا رب العالمين فاجعلنا اللهم لك فيها من عبادك الشاكرين الذاكرين يا رب العالمين. Alhamdulillah, we've been looking at 40 hadiths on the virtues of the Quran, and this is another of the 40 sets of 40 hadiths in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam collected by Sheikh Yusuf al-Nabahani. And we've seen in these hadiths some of the tremendous reward of the recitation of the Qur'an and of being busy with the Qur'an. And we stopped at hadith number 12. We read hadith number 12. We're at hadith number 13. So hadith number 13, عن أبي موسى الأشعري رضي الله تعالى عنه أنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. The Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, إن من إجلال الله تعالى إكرام ذي الشيبة المسلم وحامل القرآن غير الغالي فيه. والجافي عنه وإكرام ذي السلطان المقسط راه أبو داود قال الإمام النووي وهو حديث حسن. So the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said in this sound hadith related by Abu Dawood on the authority of Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, إِنَّ من إجلال الله تعالى, truly it is from affirming the majesty of Allah to honor someone whose hair has gone gray in Islam. Right? Truly it is from magnifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to honor one whose hair has gone gray in Islam. Right? Someone who's an elder, as we know from many hadiths. And here, ikram, honoring them. Ikram is also being generous to them, and the generosity of honoring to someone older is to serve them. وَحَامِلِ الْقُرْآنِ غَيْرِ الْغَالِي فِيهِ وَالْجَافِي عَنْهُ. And the bearer of the Qur'an, who is not excessive with respect to it or heedless regarding it. Right? So from one's magnifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is honoring the person whose hair has gone gray in Islam. Secondly, meaning an elder, anyone older than one. Number two, the bearer of the Qur'an, who is not excessive about it, and excessive about it, as Sheikh Yusuf al-Nabahani himself explains, is بِالتَّشْدِيدِ فِيهِ, by going above and beyond with respect to it, right, going beyond the established limits. And al-jafi anhu, jafa is to turn away. Lovers would always say that. Ma hadha al-jafa? What is this? Turning away, which is by not reviewing it, right? By not reviewing it. So someone of Quran is honored is worthy of honor as long as they're not excessive. They become literalists, for example, and they over impose its rules on other people, etc. That's the ghali fihi, from ghulu, which is excessiveness. Right? Nor the one who's neglectful regarding it. Thirdly, وَإِكْرَامُ ذِي السُّلْطَانِ الْمُقْسِطِ. Right? And to honor a person in authority who's just in their rule, right? Is to honor them. Right? That it, and this is not just something called upon, this is from the honoring of Allah. From honoring Allah, from affirming the majesty of Allah. Because these are great symbols of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? And great means of good for Allah's creation. Right? So in our elders, there are many signs. Right? There are many signs. And these are people who have lived and worshipped and so on. So they have many qualities that are pleasing to Allah. Likewise, with the bearer of the Qur'an, they are a bearer of guidance, as long as they're not excessive or neglectful. And a person, and a sultan, here can refer to the sultan itself, but here says ikramu this sultan, honoring a person who in authority. And this is a neglected sunnah that we, as we see in the Aqidah Tahawiyyah, that we pray for the leaders of the Muslims, right? Both that Allah rectify them and that He facilitate good for them and through them. It's a matter of Aqidah, because there's so many texts about it. But it also applies that we should recognize that from recognizing the majesty of Allah is to honor those in power who act justly. And al-muqsit, particularly if they are just rulers, you know, they care for, they do good for their constituencies. But the ulama also mentioned al-muqsit is either man adatuhu al-qist, ay al-adl, the one whose habit is to be just, but also if they do something that is just, they do something that is good. And this is a neglected sunnah, that if, whether it be at the level of local government, or regional government, or national government, or someone in authority over a project, they act justly, they act in a good way. So there's a charity that does a lot of good things. So the person who's in authority there, this is from recognition of Allah's favors, because Allah's favors are manifest through His creating. Right? So these are points of manifestation of divine favors. These are people who are doing things that are beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this should be from, so there's one that we should be actively honoring these three categories of people: elders, bearers of Quran, and those in authority who act justly. But also that one of the, that if you want to be a person who has great standing with Allah, يَرْحَمُكُمُ اللَّهُ, strive to be one of these, to be one of these categories of people. The shahid here, with respect to the virtues of the Qur'an, is to be a bearer of the Qur'an. Strive to be someone who can be considered a bearer of the Qur'an, but who understands the Qur'an, so they're not excessive with respect to it, and someone who is devoted to the Qur'an, who didn't just learn the Qur'an, so they can be said, oh, they recite really well. Or, so that, oh, they're hafiz, nor for a job. But that one's not neglectful of the Qur'an. The second hadith that we're going to look at, hadith number 14, عن جابر بن عبد الله رضي الله تعالى عنه, أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يجمع بين الرجلين من قتل أحد, ثم يقول, أيهما أكثر أخذا للقرآن, فأشير إلى أحدهما قدمه في اللحد, رواه البخاري. So, Sayyidina Jabir ibn Abdullah relates that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would join between between pairs of men of those who had been killed at Uhud, of those who had been martyred at the Battle of Uhud. and there is limited space, right? And after war, there's so many things to do, so they're being buried together, right? So you should gather between, you know, between pairs of men, and he would ask, which of them took more of the Quran? And whichever one was pointed to, they would be buried, they would be placed in the Lahad first. And this is related by Imam al-Bukhari, indicating that this is one of the signs of one person's preeminence over another. An outward sign, but the outward and the inward are related. We'll look at one more hadith. عن عبد الله بن عمرو بن العاص رضي الله تعالى عنهما أنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يفقه من قرأ القرآن في أقل من ثلاث رواه أبو داود والنسائي والترمذي وقال حديث حسن صحيح. So Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, may Allah be well pleased with both son and father, relates that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the one who recites the Qur'an in less than three does not understand what they have recited. So this is, there's a few things in this hadith. The first is the underlying meaning of the hadith is that the sunnah recitation is a recitation in which you strive to understand. You strive to understand what you recite, right? And the pace at which you recite should be a pace that does not negate your capacity to understand what it is that you are reciting. To understand in the sense of, one, being attentive to it, right? And number two, to be aware of the primary meanings. Those are the two criteria for the baseline understanding that is sought. So it's not so fast that you are now inattentive, you get distracted, and number two, that you can consider the primary meaning. Something that's not stated here, but that is understood by Isharatul Nas, is that it is expected of the believer, but by an expectation of encouragement, to know Arabic. Because it doesn't matter what pace you recite the Quran in, if you don't know Arabic, you can't understand anything, whatever pace you recited it at. So that's secondary though. The third is that this ruling is general. This ruling is general, not absolute. Right? In the sense that generally, if you're the, so there is no prohibition against reciting the Qur'an in less than 3 days. The discouragement of reciting the Qur'an in less than 3 days is connected with lack of understanding. But it is that if one recites in this, they won't understand, generally. But if someone does recite in less than 3 days, and they can do so with understanding, meaning being attentive and aware of the primary meaning, then the prophetic discouragement in this and other hadiths would not apply to them. Which is why it is authentically established from many companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that they completed the Quran on a daily basis. And you can see numerous examples of that are authentically established in Imam an-Nawawi's work, At-Tibyan fi bayani adabi hamalatil Quran, which is translated into English as Etiquette with the Qur'an. And the same principle applies to any discouragement of excessiveness in worship. That yes, there are texts against excessiveness in worship, but excessiveness relates to that which is done wrongfully or that has harmful consequences. That is done wrongfully, so you do so much that, for example, you become hasty. So someone says, I want to pray 100 rak'ahs each night. So you start, you do it wrongfully, or it has harmful consequences. So Sister Zubaydah decides to start praying 100 rak'ahs at night because she read some biography of someone that they did so. As a result, they keep showing up late for work, which is a harm. Or they go home and they don't greet their parents, say, I have things to do. So their parents are hoping to talk to their daughter, but the daughter is locks herself in the bedroom and says, and I'm praying. And she installs this thing that if you knock on her door, a little sound notification comes, I'm praying, do not disturb. And that would be, so those are the two criteria. But it is as, because there's a false claim made in our times that anything that you do more than what the Prophet ﷺ did is a bid'ah. And there's no religious basis for that. That doing something more than what the Prophet ﷺ did is not a bid'ah. And that's a false principle. Thinking that what you're doing is superior to what the Prophet ﷺ did is not just a bid'ah. Kufr could be feared from that belief. Right? And there's an adab to doing it, is that you don't make it. So for example, after prayer, the specific sunnah is to do 33 tasbihs. Say alhamd 33 times and takbir 33 or 34 times. You say, no, I'm going to do 133. Right? That would be poor adab. But once you've done the specific sunnah, in a place where there is a specific sunnah, afterwards you want to sit and make extra tasbih. It's not established the Prophet ﷺ did it, but it falls under a general encouragement to glorify Allah and to remember Allah and to praise Allah. There's nothing wrong with it. Even to make it a habit. Right? And that applies to reciting Quran, to worship at night and so on, as long as it does not become excessive nor result in harm. Harm to yourself or harm to others. Right? And Imam Abdul Hayy al-Laknawi, the great Indian Faqih and Muhaddith, who died in the year 1306 after the Hijrah, Imam Abdul Hayy al-Laknawi is brilliant. He died at the age of 39. He authored at least 126 or 127 works, nearly all in Arabic, and he only left India once. And he only had one teacher, his father. It didn't hurt. His father was an imam, so, you know, but... And he did studied nothing except one or two of the introductory subjects, like maybe writing and Persian or something with someone else. He has a treatise called on عَلَى أَنَّ الْإِكْثَارَ مِنَ التَّعَبُّدِ لَيْسَ بِبِدْعَةٍ. On affirming that much devotion is not an innovation, right? That much devotion does not become, so doing some act of worship more than the amount done by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, than what is established from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, does not make that a bid'ah. And the proofs of that are numerous from the practice of the companions, and as seen by the Prophet ﷺ himself. Amongst them is one of the female companions sitting, making tasbih for hours. And the Prophet ﷺ asked her what she was doing, and he did not. It's called Iqamatul Hujjah, ala anna al-ikthara min al-ta'abbudi laysa bi-bid'ah. It's a brilliant treatise of Sheikh Imam Abdul Hayy al-Laknawi, and it was edited by Sheikh Abdul Fattah Abu Ghudda. Similarly, we know that Sayyidina Abu Huraira, for example, had a string in which there was 1,000 knots in which he used to make dhikr, in some narrations, istighfar, at night. And the Prophet, you know, and many other companions had particular things that they did, a lot of, above and beyond the specific amount. And it always falls under general encouragements. وَذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. Right? أَقِيمُ الصَّلَةِ. Establish prayer. Like many general calls. That they're not restricted by number or place. So So here, the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever recites the Quran in less than 3 days, does not understand it. This is a general statement, not an absolute statement. But it highlights the emphasis. Also, do not be hasty in your reading of the Quran such that you don't understand it. So it is good to have, it is a sunnah to have a routine, a hizb of Quran daily. One should work up to have at least, any Muslim should take as a criteria at least to try to read one juz a day or between reading and listening to it. But your routine should be such that you're not distracted in its readings, you're aware of the words that you're reciting, right? And also, as we'll see from other hadiths, that one doesn't have istithqal, one doesn't consider it a burden, because istithqalul ibadah madhmum, right? Taking on an amount of worship that you consider burdensome is blameworthy. So we'll stop there, بإذن الله تعالى. وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم والحمد لله رب العالمين.
Thank you for listening to the Rawha, Daily Guidance for Seekers with Sheikh Faraz Rabbani. Help Seekers Hub give light to millions around the world by supporting us through monthly donations by going to seekershub.org/donate. Your donations are tax deductible in the US and Canada.